There is an amazing story that Rod did a great job setting up in this week's Torah portion. Jacob is coming home after a 20-year exile, and he's been used to struggling from when he was a fetus, an embryo in his mother's uterus. And Jacob has been a fighter, a conniver, a deceiver. He's been the perpetrator, and he's been the victim. There are others that have deceived, tricked, and fought with him as well. Esau and Laban are the most famous examples of people that have tried to, well, that Jacob has tried to manipulate, or that in turn have manipulated him, attacked him. Somehow Jacob has come through these experiences. He's coming home, and these messengers come to him that there, here comes Esau. Somehow Esau got the memo that Jacob was coming home. I don't know how that happened. The text doesn't exactly tell us, but here comes Jacob, and Esau's coming with 400 warriors. That's big. That's a bigger army than Abraham had in earlier in the book of Genesis, there in that first world war, the original world war, when these nine kings were going at it with each other. And so Jacob splits his family up, his different wives, his different children, his possessions. He spreads them out as a strategy to try to keep from being totally decimated by his brother. He sends them across the Yabbok River from the north side of Gilead into the south side of Gilead. It's in what would be modern-day Jordan. And he is left alone on the banks of that river to spend the night. A man, we're told, shows up and fights with Jacob all night long. Elsewhere, in this very text in Genesis 32, it hints that it was God himself. We're told that it was Elohim that Jacob encountered. Elsewhere in Scripture, it actually says that it was an angel. Later in the prophets, later in the Bible, it says that it was an angel that Jacob encountered. Whoever, whatever it was that he fought with, he had a permanent mark. This event left its mark on Jacob's life, but Jacob came out with a new destiny and a new identity. Rod highlighted that he gets a new name. God changes names of people to highlight something new, something different in their character. My name is George. It means fruitful. I'm, by definition, a farmer. I always thought it was interesting that in the Greek, the name George is originally a Greek name. It shows up in the Bible. I remember looking for that one time when I was in seminary. Got a Greek concordance out, found out that, hey, George is in the Bible. I'm a farmer. I'm supposed to be fruitful. Hopefully I can be in my life. Nathan is a gift. From the Hebrew verb natan, which means he gives. And so God changed Jacob's name to Israel. He struggles with God. He struggles with God. And Jacob, we're told, this angel tells Jacob, you have struggled with people. You had plenty of that experience in your life. Now you are going to have a different, sparring partner. You have struggled with man and with God and have prevailed. Jacob no longer quarrel, no longer fight, no longer wrestle with your brother. And by the way, I think that this event enables Jacob to have a positive encounter with Esau. Plus, Esau, you know, decided not to kill him. That was beneficial too. But Jacob comes in with a new identity, one not so much sparring with others, but wrestling for the presence of God in his life. As Jacob fights this entity, this divine entity of some sort, as the sun comes up, the angel says, let me go. I have to go. Jewish tradition says that the angel had to get back to heaven because he was supposed to lead the morning praise in God's throne room. Okay, interesting idea. I like that. But Jacob holds on and says, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. In fact, he wants to know the angel's name. Name carries the import of significance or power and authority. So the angel says, my name doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what my name is. But it does say that the angel blessed Jacob there. And Jacob names the place Peniel, literally the face of God. Because God, Penuel, turns his face for blessing on Jacob's life. The passage there says, I will name this place Peniel because I have seen God. Panim el panim, face to face, and my life has been preserved. I want to talk a little bit for a moment, a little technical, a little Hebrew, since after all we're a Jewish congregation. The phrase there is often in your scriptures. Rather, I actually looked at all my Jewish scriptures, and I looked at all my Christian scriptures, and they all translated that phrase in verse 31 the same way. And yet my life was preserved, or yet my life was spared. It sets up an adversative between I saw Elohim face to face, but yet my life was preserved. It sets up a contrast between the one clause and the second clause. The verb there, better than preserved or spared, the verb actually means delivered, to be rescued, to be snatched away from something. It's used in Zechariah chapter 3 for the high priest, whose name there actually was Yeshua, Joshua. And there's this image of Joshua the priest in coming home from the exile. He's wearing dirty clothes. And the evil one challenges God. You know, this priest doesn't deserve to stand in this place to have this holy service. Just look at him. And God says, I have chosen him. He is a firebrand plucked from the fire. He's been snatched out. He's been rescued and plucked out of the fire. And there, it goes on to describe the transformation that God does for the new high priest coming home from Babylon. The verb is the same verb, to be plucked out, to be rescued, to be delivered. That Jacob cries out to God, I have seen God face to face, and yet my life was spared, and yet my life was delivered. A better translation, though, instead of seeing it as an adversative, as a, you know, this but this, I like to rather translate it as a consequence. I was so taken by this verse this week. I actually called a rabbi friend of mine up north and to run my translation by him. And he said, you know, your translation works. I want to see the phrase not as a contrast, you know, I saw God, but luckily I lived, to a consequence. To see the verb as a result of having encountered God. Reading the verse this way, I have seen God face to face, and so, therefore, my life has been rescued. I have seen God face to face, and I have been delivered. Not thank God I've been spared, but I am spared not because I might have died because I saw God, but I have been spared for that very reason. Because I saw God, my life has been spared. I'm taking what I said is the usual translation in every Bible that I translation, like three different Jewish translations, three different Christian translations, but I'm taking it in a different direction with a different nuance. Earlier in the chapter, in verse 12, Jacob prays to God. He says, God, my brother is coming to attack me. God, deliver me. Deliver my soul from the hands of my brother. It's the same verb. The same verb. Rescue me. Deliver me. The verb there in verse 12 is in a form of the verb called the hifel. It's a form of the verb that is a causative form. Where instead of the subject doing the action of the verb, the subject causes the action to be done. Instead of I didn't have an example in my head. So someone causing the fire to be burnt, to be lit. It's causing the ball to roll, causing the vase to fall off the table. You cause something to happen is how Jacob cries out to God. God, cause me to be delivered. It's not just God, do this in a moment in time, but God, act in such a way, in such an ongoing manner, that I will be caused to be delivered. Jacob's prayer is not, God, rescue me in a moment in time, but Lord, act in such a way, in an ongoing way, that in the end, you will have caused me to be delivered. By using this form of the verb, Jacob is asking for God's ongoing activity in his life, not a single moment in time. God, I don't need you to just intervene for me in a second. I need you to walk with me through this entire encounter. Cause me to be delivered. I think that Jacob's prayer is daring. I think Jacob's prayer is doubtless. He has no doubt. He is dependent on God. Jacob is daring to use an imperative with God. God, I am commanding you about what I need. He doesn't use a soft form of the verb. He uses an imperative. God, cause me to be delivered. Then at the end of the story, as I've already highlighted, verse 31 uses that same verb. I have seen God face to face, and therefore I have been delivered. Because I have encountered God, my life has been spared. Not in spite of seeing God, thank God I'm still alive. Yes, there is the idea in Scripture, and it shows up in the Torah, in the prophets, in the Messianic writings, that those who are not righteous, those who are not holy, cannot see God, because to see God without righteousness would mean our certain death. There are examples of that in Scripture. Those that encounter God's righteousness and holiness, and we find out that they are struck dead because of that encounter. So it is possible in Scripture that one might die because they've encountered the Most High. But there are also many times when people do encounter God and they live. When God appears to them, when they see God. In Exodus chapter 24, Moses and the 70 elders have lunch with God on Mount Sinai. In Genesis chapter 18, the Lord appears to Abraham. In this chapter, Jacob says that I have seen God face to face. A face-to-face encounter with God. God's face is more powerful than we often recognize. In fact, in our liturgy today, from 1 Chronicles, we read that verse, seek his face always. Seek his face always. We find out in the book of Exodus, when Moses is up on Mount Sinai interceding for Israel, who have constructed the golden calf, who are walking into idolatry, and God has agreed to forgive them, but God says, but I'm not going with them. I'll forgive them, but I am not going to go with them. And Moses continues to step in, or step up, or however you'd like to think of it. And Moses says, but God, your face must go with us. Your scriptures will usually translate that word as your presence must go with us. But the Hebrew word is literally not just your presence. God, it's your face. God, we must have your face with us. We must experience your face. How can we, as believers today, have that kind of encounter with God? I think it's interesting that one of the earliest and largest social media websites is called Facebook. Give me some time with your face. Rightly or wrongly, with maybe some benefits that brings in our life, as well as some drawbacks from that kind of encounter. The program is called Facebook. We need a face-to-face encounter like Jacob had with God. How can I say this? How can I say that what Jacob experienced, we need to experience? Well, I'm glad you asked. And thank you for laughing. In Hosea chapter 12, we're told this by the prophet. Says that God wrestled with Jacob, that God found Jacob there at Bethel and wrestled with Jacob, and Jacob prevailed. And God spoke to us. It says, God found Jacob, but he spoke to us. Hosea chapter 12, verse 5. I looked it up in a couple of my Bibles. The idea is so odd that it would say, after in the middle of this context about talking about Jacob, that the prophet would then say us, that one of my Bibles, and it's probably a Bible that we'd find here in our synagogue today, it actually changes the translation from us to him. Now us and him in Hebrew are plainly different words. Him, God spoke to him, would be lamed vav, lo. But us would be lamed nun vav, lanu. The word us is clearly a distinct word. The text distinctly says when God wrestled with Jacob, he spoke to us. But it's interesting that a Bible translation that I have, it's actually one I respect, but the editors couldn't wrap their minds around God speaking to us when he wrestled with Jacob. But indeed, the text says, when God found Jacob and wrestled with Jacob, he was speaking to us. There is something that we must learn in this encounter that God had with Jacob. We must learn as Am Yisrael, as part of the people of Israel, we must learn what it is to struggle with God. God had taught Jacob, okay, enough of struggling with Esau, enough of struggling with Laban. It's time, Jacob, that you learn to struggle with God. To get past the other fights the other attempts at supremacy, the other trying to manipulate and build and construct your life. It's time that you learn to interact. It's time that you learn to have face time with God. Jacob says, I have seen God face to face. God spoke to us in that encounter. He is wanting to have us learn that we also need face time with God. You can see God's face. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 tells us that in Messiah, in the face of Messiah, we can see God's glory. Because of this, I will often emphatically assert that yes, we can see God. It's not with our natural eyes, but we can come to a point of struggling with the Most High that we learn what it is to have face time with the Most High. We must have a face-to-face encounter in our lives where we say, God, cause me to be delivered. God, cause me to have a heart for you. God, cause my marriage to be strengthened the way that you would desire. Lord, cause my attitude, my self-centeredness, or my bitterness, cause my attitude to bend to you. We need to come to a point where we are regularly having face time with the Most High. Indeed, in the world to come, in the last chapter of the Messianic writings, Revelation chapter 22, we're told that we will see God face to face. We will eat from the 12 fruits that grow along the river in the kingdom of God, and we will see God's face. The whole Bible ends with this idea of looking forward to seeing God's face. In our lives today, we need face-to-face encounters with the Most High. Like Moses said, I'm not going another step unless your face is with us. In the priestly blessing, we talk about, Lord, turn your face toward us. We talk about, there's the passage in Psalm 16, in God's presence, there is fullness of joy. Of course, the word there for presence is actually the word for face. In seeing God's face and having face time with God, we will experience the fullness of joy, not just happiness in our life. We will come to experience joy in our lives as we encounter God's face. And the list goes on and on of passages in Scripture that speak of what we gain as we have face time with God. This isn't somebody that you friend and read a little bit about from time to time about what's going on in their life. This is someone that you have intimate, ongoing, eternal relationship, encountering God's face. Jacob prevailed over the angel. Jacob lived through that experience, not in spite of having seen God's face, but because he saw God's face. You will have the fullness of life. You will know God's peace. You will know God's joy. You will know the pleasure of the Most High when there is face-to-face encounter with him. I pray that all of us would know what that is, that we would grow. Like Jacob said, God, cause me to know your deliverance. Give me an ongoing experience with your deliverance, God. I need it not just at this moment. I need it in an ongoing way. Lord, I need that. As a community, our congregation definitely needs that. We need his guidance. We need his understanding. We need his wisdom. FaceTime with God. That is what it means to say, B'nai Yisrael. Children, sons of Israel. If you're Jewish or not, according to our messianic rabbis in the scriptures, you are a child of Israel. You are a son, a daughter of Israel. That means, by definition, that you struggle with God. That you have encounter with God's face. Step up. Live up to who you are. Be what you are intended to be by the creative power that God has given you in Yeshua. How can this happen? How can we see God face to face? It is thanks to the atoning sacrifice of Yeshua, our Messiah. It is Yeshua, and only through Yeshua, that we can have this kind of encounter. Yeshua, the face of Yeshua is how we come to see God's glory. Something that God wants to share with us, available to us, because of what Messiah has done. And makes available to us every day of our lives. It's not something that happens once in your life. It's not something that just happened because you said a prayer one time. It's something that happens on a daily basis, an ongoing relationship, continuous FaceTime with God.